will call 12 men to come wade in the water with me. They wrestled out 12 big old stones, a memorial to be. Well, one by one they stacked them stones before God's people's eyes, just to be a landmark on the shore after all of them died. After all of them died. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for all to see. Stacked them stones one on another, stacked them stones for you and me. For the children to see.
Oh, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is come, the Almighty. Let's go over this morning. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we love you and we thank you, Father, for loving us. And thank you, Lord, that you are the Almighty, Lord, that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Lord, that you are above everything that is. Lord, that we serve such a God. Lord, that we're able to come in presence this morning. Lord, that you called us your sons and daughters, Lord. That Father, that we have a portion in that place beyond the sky. Father, that we have a home there, Father, that we're family, that you're our Father. Lord, that we have had our sins forgiven, washed clean by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, a blessing. What a privilege, what an honor, what a glory. Lord, help me this morning. I want to be a blessing to these folks. Lord, I pray that you'd use me. And Lord, take me and protect me through this message. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit give me unction and power. Use me this morning for the glory of God, I pray. And Lord, I put myself in your hands. I ask you to forgive me and cleanse me. Use me this morning. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you're wondering what our text verse is, verse 6. The Bible is in verse 6, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. As I was reading that verse that jumped out at me, I thought to myself, I've never studied that before. He made us kings and priests. I don't know about you, but I don't feel much like a king and I don't feel much like a priest. Amen. And especially in this old world we live in right now, we are looked at as the scourge of the earth. We are looked upon as a bunch of lunatics. We're looked at as the problem. I mean, I'm telling you right now, I read this morning that Obama's working to try to get Sharia law introduced into the United States. If you don't know what Sharia law is the Muslim Islamic law that basically says, you know, if you curse Allah, we kill you. He's working on that. The Justice Department is integrating those things, and there are some high-ranking officials in the government that are part of the Muslim Brotherhood. These things are coming to a country near you, amen. We are not the most popular people in the world. Matter of fact, we are called a domestic terrorist because we believe the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We threaten homeland security because of our beliefs, this book, because we know that someday Jesus is going to come back, and he is going to overthrow the governments of this world. And you know, that's a national threat. That's a threat against national security. And because we believe that, we're considered dangerous by them, as if we're going to do it. I'm not going to do anything to overthrow anybody. Amen. I'm going to let Jesus do it, and they can't shoot all. They can shoot all they want at him. They ain't going to hurt him a bit. Amen. Amen. So, when I read that we're kings and priests unto God, I want to know what all that entails. Amen. And maybe you'll get blessed out of this, maybe you won't. But either way, it doesn't make no difference. I'm going to preach it anyway, so you might as well get a blessing out of it. So, but I wanted to help you. I wanted to give you some this morning as we study this, that he has made us kings and priests unto God. Now, I'm going to hurry and preach, and I'm going to try to go in a timely manner, so I'm just going to get into it. Amen. We're kings. What does that mean, we're kings? I mean, you're a king. I'm a king. We're kings. How do you fathom that? You don't feel like a king, do you? Let's be honest. You really don't. But God says you are. Now, that's not, you say, wait a minute. I mean, I know you may be thinking, well, the Bible says we're supposed to rule and reign with him, but that's later. But that ain't what God says here. Now, hold on. Let me stay with me, sister. With it. The Bible says that we will rule and reign with him. And that is talking about the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. But he is saying here that he has made it. So it's already been done. Amen? When we came into the family of God, he became a king and priest unto God. So how does that work? Well, a king. We are a king. Let me give you three thoughts on this thing about a king. Amen? Number one, we are a king. You are a king. I am a king in his place. Listen to this. Listen, think on the verse of Scripture. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords. Now, I know he's the king of whatever country down here is king, but I don't know that the king is referring to. I think he's referring to us. King of kings. Amen. He's made us king. And we're going to rule with him, so I don't believe it's referring to kings of the earth when it says he's the king of kings. I think he's talking about us. The more I read this, the more I see that. Amen. The ambassador. We are ambassadors for Christ as though God did beseech you. That means God called out to you by us. We pray you in Christ stead reconciled to God. We ask you, get saved. Be reconciled to God. We ask you that are saved, live God, get near him. What is an ambassador? And I looked it up. Ambassador means a diplomatic representative, a diplomatic official of the highest rank sent by one country as its long-term representative to another. Heaven is our country. We are sent by the King of Heaven to be his long-term representative here on earth. The high-ranking official from heaven. Amen, as you and I. We have the Holy Spirit of God to back it up. We have God's dictate right here. Amen. We are to herald the word of God. A herald is somebody who is to come out from the king and give the words verbatim that the king said. If a herald got and gave his own message, they'd take his head off. He was to give word by word exactly what the king said. You and I are not to change the message. We're simply to give the message. Amen. We are kings in his place. Amen. Jesus said in John 20:21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you. As my Father hath sent me, so send I you. Just like he sent me, I'm sending you. It's right there alone, just the same and looking at it. We're sent to king. I know it sounds crazy. Because we don't think like that. That's not our thinking. Amen. We've been put down and trampled on. We don't think we're kings. We're not to be swollen with pride so we humble ourselves and say, oh, no, I'm not a king. But God says you are. I'm not preaching something foreign to you. I'm just preaching something you ain't heard. Amen. I've never heard anybody preach this before. I don't think it's doctrine. I think it's just stuff that's stepped over when people read the Bible. We're kings in his place. Now, I didn't make this stuff up either. I did a little dig, a little research, read a little Matthew Henry and a little Charles Spurgeon, and they agreed with what I said, what I'm saying this morning. This stuff has been read, but I haven't been in a long, long time. Kings in his place. I mean, we're his representatives. Let me say this, number two. We're kings with his approval. Amen. Listen to the Bible, which read Revelation 1:6. And he hath made us kings. We have his, he's the one who established us as a king. So it's not like we're trying to fill some position that we don't belong in. He's the one who sets up the king. You don't get this. I'm talking to you, believer. You are a king. What change your life? Get that through your head. It would. I mean,
oh, whatever. I'm not really a king.
Yes, you are. Maybe not in your eyes, but in God's eyes, you are. You need to look at it from God's perspective instead of your perspective. Have his approval as a king. He has made us kings and priests unto God. You're a king, amen? Not you're over him, but you're a king under him. He has approved. He's the king of kings, and you're a king under him. Now, I'm going to take you to Romans 8. Very familiar. You could probably quote this, or at least you could quote some of it. I want to show you, with his approval, verses 29-30. The Bible says, for whom he did foreknow. And again, we don't get into Calvinism and all that stuff. I'm just trying to show you that God knew ahead of time who's going to be saved. Right? He knows everything, from the beginning from the end from the beginning. God knew who's going to get saved. But whom he did foreknow, those he knew would believe and trust Jesus, he also destined, which means he had a plan for them, a will for their life. Here's his will for them to conform to the image of his Son. Right? He has a plan for every single person who believes trust on Christ to live for Christ. He doesn't plan for anybody to just slide by and a lazy, no-count Christian, right? That makes sense? All right, so he has a plan, all right? And so he says he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So we, again, to herald the message of the king, that's part of his plan. Right? We are to stand up and tell others what Christ has done. We are to stand up as authorities on the matter because we have his approval. Amen? To shout out the message that Christ has done it all. He's paid all. He saves. We can say it with authority and conviction because we know. Amen? So he has a plan for that. And it says, moreover, he did predestinate those he had a plan for. Them he also called. Them he called. Listen. He also justified. Justified, to give you the definition of justified, it means declared to be righteous and acceptable to God. You have been, if you've been saved, listen to me, you have been declared by God to be righteous. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. It doesn't matter what you think about yourself. It doesn't matter what I think about you. It doesn't matter if your neighbor thinks about you or the people you work with. Listen to me, if you've been declared to be righteous and acceptable by God, it doesn't matter what they think. Amen? And the Bible says, and accordingly fit, the Bible says, the definition says, and accordingly fit to receive the pardon for their sins and eternal life. God said so. He made you acceptable in the blood, amen. All right, it says, and whom he justified, them also, he also glorified. Now, let's read the definition of glorified. Glorified means to exalt, that means to lift up, to a glory rank or position. That's what it means. To lift up to a glorious rank or position. It means of God bringing Christians to a heavenly dignity or condition. That's what it means. God, quit letting life bring you down to its level. Quit letting others bring you down to their level. Quit letting circumstances bring you down to everybody else's level. You are a king before God. You are to live, not saying, we're suited and walking our nose up in the air and think we're better than anybody else. That's not what being a Christian is about. No, and I have an attitude, but I'm saying you need to have such a relationship with God that you appreciate who he has made you into. It will change you. It will change your character. It will change your attitude. It will change your manner of speaking. It will change your manner of doing. You listen to me. Do you think a king gets up every? I'm moving around on y'all. I made it hard. I told him I was gonna stand still this morning. Haley's back here on the camera, so I don't have to walk around so much, Haley. Listen, do you think a king gets up every morning all droopy and in the mullet grubs? No, he's a king. Amen. He can have anything he wants. He's a king. That's God. We have Father in heaven who owns it all, who has all power. We forget that. God help us. We forget that we've been approved to be kings by Him. We've got to move along. Number three, and this is just the first point. It's just a three part. Say, we're kings not only. Hey, listen. We're not only kings in His place, not only kings for His approval, but kings for His glory. That's why we're here. We're for His glory. Amen. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:20, for all the promises of God in Him are yea, and in Him, amen. God's made so many promises to us in His Word. Why has He made all these? I said, listen, we ought to go to Him, and knowing that we can get things from Him, He is our Father. He's the King of Kings. We're kings under Him. We ought to know we can go to Him. And why has He done the things? Here's the rest of it. Unto the glory of God by us. When we live expecting things from Him and getting things from Him and leaning on Him and living by Him, we are giving glory to Him. We are fulfilling His purpose for us. A life dedicated and separated and lived by God's power is glorious to Him. 2 Corinthians 4:15 says, for all things are for your sakes. Why? That the abundant grace, that's all God's blessings, all giving, all God's loving, all God's doing in our life, that abundant grace, enough and more than enough of His unmerited favor, it might the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. Listen, that's why God is so good. That's why He gives like He does. Because He wants us to turn around and thank Him and give Him the glory He deserves. And that's why He has put us here. That's why we're here to do that. Amen? God didn't put you here to sit down and whine and cry and moan and complain. You say, well, I don't feel much like a king. I ain't got two nickels rubbed together, and this wrong, and that's wrong, this wrong, and that's wrong. Listen to me. Every king down through history hasn't been in perfect health. Every king down through history hasn't had the family. But they were still a king. Amen? At least they had that to be thankful for. And I'll tell you something. You may have the circumstances of life like you want them. I'm telling you something. What's up there is like you want it. You can look to Him. You can look to the promises and the blessings and the love and the care of God. And you can appreciate those things and forget about a whole lot of other things that are of the nasty now and now. You can get your eyes focused on the sweet night and mind and forget a lot about the nasty night and now. We're for His glory. We're not here for our complaints. We're here for His glory. You know, again, I think if Paul could sit in a Mamertine prison in the dungeon, darkest, deepest, nastiest, stinkingest part of it, and he could sing praise unto God, I think you and I can give God a little glory. I was reading a story yesterday. A friend of mine, well, he's not really a friend, he's just a preacher that I met. He's a street preacher. He's from Louisiana, lives north. He was posting some stories, and he posted one where a guy a year ago in England, he was out preaching in the open air out of City Square, and some man came up to him. He had a blunderbuss. If you don't know what a blunderbuss is, it's like a hand cannon. They'd load it with nails and all kinds of things, put gunpowder in it and pack it in there. And I mean, it was like a shotgun in your hand. And he pointed it right in the man's face while he was preaching. And the man kept preaching. He put it in the man's mouth, to his mouth while he was preaching. And he put it to the side of his head while he was preaching. Finally, he got him behind him and held it right over the top of his head and let it go. Singed off some of the preacher's hair. Amen? He kept on preaching. And he said, I think some of us complain too easy. We got it too hard. He said, if this guy could keep going, I think you can too. Amen? Listen, we're here in his glory. World ain't going to like it. Quit worrying about whether or not anybody likes you doing it. You're not here for the world. You're not here for everybody like you. You're here for God to be glorified. That's all you're here for. We got our eyes on the wrong thing. Amen? Listen, as kings, here's things we're to do as kings. Amen? Number one, we're here to govern. Kings govern, don't they? Why to govern? What are you to govern? We're to govern on spirit. That's what we're to do. Amen? So that's the kingdom. You're to govern your own spirit. What does that mean? You're here to protect it. Amen? I'm going to give you an example. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul was talking about it. He said, he was giving an example. He said, know ye not that they which run in a race run all. Everybody lines up the starting line, right? But one receiveth the prize. Only one person's going to win. So run that you may obtain. He said, not every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. If five guys went up shooting an arrow at a target, well, one guy may have a twitch. One guy may have an itch. You know? One guy may have a little palsy to him. You know, I mean, I don't, but not everybody has got everything is right. He said, now they're doing that to obtain a corruptible crown. They're doing it to win a ribbon or to get a trophy. He said, but we are incorruptible. We're doing things to be crowned by the King of Kings someday at a coronation ceremony in heaven. We're doing what we're doing in order to be crowned by the King. He said, I therefore so run. That's why I do what I do. Not so my neighbor like me. Not so you know, I might get an award from civic organization or not so that, you know, I might like a lot more friends or be popular or get a little extra discount somewhere, whatever. Amen? You know, I'm gonna tell you, y'all heard that story about that guy in Cleveland that those three women were locked in that house for 10 years and that black man named Charles Ramsey was next door to his McDonald's hamburger. He about a half of it. He heard her trying to kick her way out the door, and he ran over there and helped her get out and call 911. And they made a big deal out of it, you know. And he said he ran over with half of the Mac in his hand, and you know, McDonald's decided they were going to give him free Big Macs for a year. Somebody sculpted a bust of his head. That, not only that, but 10 different restaurants in the Cleveland area got together and they come up with a Chuck card, which they made, which had all the restaurants on the back, and he had free hamburgers for life. You know what it said? I don't want it. He said, give it to them ladies. That was reward money for them ladies being found. And he said, I don't want it. Give it to them. They deserve it. You know what? That's the way we ought to be. I don't want no credit. I just want, I just want to do what I'm supposed to do. I just want to do things to please him. Hey, he said, I was just a guy trying to help. That's all I was there for. It's not about you. It's about the Lord. We're here to govern our spirit so that we bless him and be glorify him. That's why we're here. We're not here to get credit. Paul said, here's what he said. He said, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. I'm not going through this life as if nothing matters. He said, it's so like I. He's given an image of a boxer. He says, not as one that beateth air. I'm not just standing around a box. No. He said, but I keep my keep under my body. In other words, I control this flesh, govern this flesh, and bring it into subjection. Amen. I put a stronghold on the flesh, lest that by any means when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway. In other words, I don't want to tell you what to do and then I myself go fall down trying not to do it. I want to make sure that I govern my own behavior so that I don't end up looking like a hypocrite before those I preach to. Hey, listen, I have a kingdom here I got to watch over, and it's the kingdom of me. God put me here as a king, amen, and I'm supposed to govern myself so that my spirit can go by God. As a king, not only as a king to God, and a king unto God, we are not only supposed to govern our spirit, but too, we're to conquer Satan. Now listen to this. I know the Bible says, submit yourselves unto God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. I understand that, but listen to what the Bible says over in Romans 8, 33-37. I read this last night, and I thought, okay. Paul asks three questions right here that are very important. Romans 8, 33, he begins, he says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Well, who does accuse us? Who is he talking about? The devil. He's the one that lays the charge against us. And here's what he says. He said, it's God that justifies. It's God that declares us the righteous. How's he going to say we're not? Verse 34, he says, who is he that condemneth? He said, it's Christ that died. Yea, rather that he risen again. Hey, it's not just that he died. He rose. If he'd have just died, that wouldn't end it. But he rose, amen, and he who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. So even if the devil does condemn us, Christ goes on our behalf and makes intercession to the Father for us. He says again, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He said, tribulation, or distress, or persecution. These are the things that come in life. I mean, we've got troubles, we've got distresses, people talking about us, laughing at us. He said, or famine, or nakedness, peril. People all around the world living in those conditions. You may not be, I may be, but there are people around the world that are Christians that are living in those conditions. Sword, time of warfare. He said, are those things going to separate us from the love of Christ? And by the way, who's the father of all those things? Who's the father of troubles and distress and persecution and famine and naked and perils and sword? I see who he is. The thief comes not before to kill, steal, to kill, and destroy. The devil, amen? Paul says, who's going to do that? He said, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And he says, look here, nay. What does that mean? It means no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. He is the King of kings. Amen? He made us a king, but he's our king. Amen. And our king says, no, I've given you power more than a conqueror over him. He can't do that to you. Don't you even believe him for 1 second. He's a liar. He's the father of all lies. When he speaks of a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's the father of them. What else are we to do as kings? We're to have power of God in prayer. Amen. 2 Peter 1, 3 and 4. According as his divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. God has given us all these things. Amen. Listen, he's provided for our, this little kingdom we're living in right now. Listen, we're a child king, remember? We're kings under the King of Kings, and he's provided all the things that we need that pertain to life and godliness. It's there. It's provided. Everything his hand's supplying. He gives everything we need. Amen? Through the knowledge of him, if we know him and get to know him, we'll see those things are there for us. If we ignore him and go through living in ourselves, doing what we want to do, ignoring him and live according to the rules of this world and the darkness of this world, then we'll miss all that. But if we'll get our eyes off this world and get our eyes on him, we'll see these things that he's already provided for us. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory. Remember? Glory. He's glorified us. He's called us glory. Virtue. He wants us to live at a different level than with him. He says, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be takers of the divine nature. Man, remember, God has a plan for us to be conformed to the image of his Son, who is the King of Kings. Don't miss what I'm saying. God is the one who established us as a king and a priest. He wants us to be conformed to the image of his Son, who's the King of Kings. He gives us all the things that we need to pertain to life and godliness. He's told us nothing can come against us. Nothing can destroy us. Nothing can condemn us. I'm not in that priest's Bible. I'm not giving you anything outside the Word of God. Amen. Listen, that you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. How'd you escape it? Through the blood of Jesus. Matthew 7, 7 through 8. It says, ask and it shall be given unto you. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Why? Because God has made you a king and a priest. The door is wide open to you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Those are promises. Precious promises. He doesn't give them to anybody. He gives them to those kings and priests who he makes and approves. Those come through the blood of Jesus, who've been justified and who are glorified. What else are we to do as kings? I ain't even got to pray. I'm going to try to hurry up and get there. It won't take very long for that one. What else will we do? We shall judge the world. Wow. You're going to judge Charlotte. You're going to judge the world. Miss Betty, you're going to judge the world. Miss Bummy, you're going to judge the world, sister. That blow your mind. You're going to judge the world. You don't feel like you ought to judge the world, do you? Hey, I don't feel like I should judge the world either. But God said, Brother James, we're going to judge the world. That's what God says. 1 Corinthians 6, 2, the Bible says, do you not know that the saints shall judge the world? That's what it says right there in the Word. And if the world shall be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? He said, you go judge the world. Can't you figure out stuff in your daily life? We ought to govern ourselves a little better. Amen? Jude 1, 14 and 15. That's awesome. Y'all know Enoch preached a message, and it's recorded in the Bible. I think I've told you this before. But Enoch, that walked with God and was not, God took him. One of his sermons is right here in Jude. I mean, it's recorded there in the Bible. A sermon from Enoch. Most people don't realize it there. It says, and Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, here's what Enoch said. Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s, that's plural, of his saints. Companies of 10,000. ten thousands of his saints to do what? Execute judgment upon all. And convince all that are ungodly, among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and all their harsh speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. God's coming with his saints to judge the world. What Enoch said way back yonder. God must have revealed some pretty wild stuff to Enoch. You know what? I think that's why God took him. I told you too. You got to come up here. I didn't tell the prophets all that stuff. Come on up here. You tell everybody, and then I can't have that. Amen? I don't know. I'm just speculating, but anyway. Bible's in Revelation 2, 26 to 27. And he that overcometh. How did they overcome? By the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. That's what the Bible is. And keep my works to the end, unto the end. To him will give power over nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. As vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. And as I received of my Father. Hey, we're going to rule the world. That's what God says. You don't have to be able to conceive of it right now. Just believe it. It's in the Word of God. Right there. I mean, you can't deny it. If you do, you just want to deny God. It's right there. As priests, we get into the last part. As kings and priests, I'll try to hurry. Number one, as priests, look here. As priests, we have access. The priests, amen. Listen, I don't know if ever studied the Levitical priesthood, but the priest, the high priest, he had access into the Shekinah glory of God. There was outside, I'm walking again on. Hey, there was outside the temple, there was an outer court. Outside there, outside the outer court, it's kind of where people hung out and did their business affairs and daily business. Inside the temple, in the inner court, that was where the sacrifices were done. It was a holier place than the outside court. But then the inside, there was a small area called Holy of Holies. And that was on one day out of the year that the high priest would ascend the platform up into that place with the blood of a spotless lamb. He would take that blood from the brazen altar and go inside the hyssop. And he had on a robe that was long and it had pomegranate, bells and pomegranates around the bottom of it that jingled and jangled. And he wore a rope around his waist, ran outside the Holy of Holies, and he went in with that blood. And the reason the rope, again, is if he went in there, he wasn't right with God, he'd fall over dead. I mean, unrighteous cannot stand in his presence. And I mean, he went into the very kind of glory of God and he dropped dead. And nobody could go in after him. He was the only guy to go in, so they had to pull him out by the rope. He died. But he went in with that blood. And inside that Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant. Amen. On the top of that Ark of the Covenant was the mercy seat. And he would take the hyssop, which was that herb that grew on rocks, and he would take it and he would dip it in the blood and he would sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, make atonement for the children of Israel. It happened one day of the year and it was all a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ and what he was going to do and shed his blood as the perfect Lamb of God. When he came out of the grave, he said, "Don't touch me, I've not yet gone to my Father." And he went and took his own blood and sprinkled it on the mercy seat in heaven to make atonement for us once and for all. Now, he's made us priests. We have access into the very presence of God. Hebrews 10, 19 through 24, the Bible says, having four brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest. The high priest is the only one that could go in. He went in with fear and trembling. The Bible says, we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. Amen. In an old and dead way. It's a living way which he hath consecrated for us through the veil. That was that veil that separated man and God. Only the priest could enter into. And it's to say his flesh. His flesh was the veil. His flesh was torn. and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with water. Let us, that means let's get clean. Get clean and come into the presence of God. The water always pictures the Word of God. Amen. It'll clean you up. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. In other words, let's don't be one way one day and another the next. Amen. For He is faithful that promises. Let's be faithful to Him. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. We have access to God. Number two, we're able to enter into the holiest of holies for spiritual sacrifices. 1 Peter 2:5, the Bible says, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood. You and I are a holy priesthood unto God to offer spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Listen, God has made us to sacrifice ourselves on His altar and to give ourselves for His sake. Listen to me. Christians go through life, all through life, and they never realize this thing of surrender to God. They miss it. There's so many Christians who go through this life, think of this life, that, you know, I got saved, so that's all done, paid for, so I don't have to worry about it anymore, and I'm going to do what I want to now. And they miss what real life is all about because they have not surrendered themselves. It doesn't matter what name you put on it. You can call it the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You can call it full surrender. You can call it whatever you want to. But the fact of the matter is you are yield yourself a living sacrifice to God. Like Brother Weber said, you need a liver transplant. You need to let God, let Christ be the liver inside of you. Let Him live. And if you'll do that, you'll offer those spiritual sacrifices as a priest of God. Number three, I told you I was going to hurry. We have an unction. Unction. Y'all hear me say that when I pray sometimes. Holy Ghost of God, give me unction to preach. Somebody asked, the preacher said, what is unction? He said, I don't rightly know what it is, but I know what it is when it ain't there. Amen. I want to tell you something. There's something to it. And I looked it up and I studied it out. 1 John 2:20 says, listen, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Now listen to this. Don't miss this. Unction. Here's the Bible dictionary. Here's the dictionary definition. If things smeared on, unguent, ointment, usually prepared by the Hebrews from oil and aromatic herbs. Anointing was the inaugural ceremony for priests. They would take them and they would smear this thick, oily, aromatic herb stuff on them in the ceremony. They were becoming priests. Amen. Now listen, these ain't some Hebrews smearing this on us. Amen. This is God giving us this unction. He has given us. Listen, it's used in 1 John 2:20. This is what it said in the lexicon of the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is not just the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is a gift of the Holy Spirit in getting the knowledge of the truth. Don't tell, if you're saved, don't tell me, I just don't understand the Bible. You're using that as a lazy excuse. I don't know how to help nobody. I don't know what the Bible says. You are too lazy to read it. If you're saved, you don't want to say, well, I ain't no preacher, I ain't no Sunday school teacher. Quit being lazy. As a child of God, you have every bit of the access to have exactly the same knowledge of this book that I do, as James does, as any other man or woman in this church or any other church for that matter. Amen. I'm sometimes in awe of some people's Bible knowledge. I'll read some preacher and it's like, wow, where did he learn all of that? Chances are he read it from somebody else or heard somebody say it. And then went and searched it out for himself, got confirmation, word of God. And there ain't nothing new under the sun. What I discovered here, I discovered by reading some, it intrigued my interest. I said, wow, that must mean something a whole lot stronger than what I'm just reading there. And I went and looked at some older men of God, what they've said, and they were, I was like, wow, there's a lot more there. So I started digging in the scriptures. And I started finding all this stuff, and God just started laying it down in front of me. It's there if you want it. Amen. I watched a show not too long ago. I just got up late one night, and it was on National Geographic. It was called I Cold Gold or something. And it was these guys up there in Alaska, and they walking around out in the midst of snow. I mean, it is snowed everywhere. And they were looking for rubies. Now, they were in Iceland, Greenland, or somewhere like that. That's where they were. And they're up in this big mountain. I mean, it's a foot of snow on the ground. And they were like, oh, we ain't going to find nothing. And then this one guy started calling, rubies, 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 rubies. And they all run over there. And on the side of this rock face, all the rubies that was right there in the edge of the rock. I mean, these big, huge rubies. And I mean, they started shouting and just having a ball. And they were tipping them things out. And they were so happy. Let me tell you something. You know why? Because it was right there. They had to work for it. It was snow covered, and it was just right there. Can I tell you something? The Word of God, it's just right there. More precious than rubies. It's right there. It's there for the taking. I mean, God has gave us access. He gave us everything that pertains to truth and righteousness and life and godliness. It's right there. Don't tell me you can't get it. God has given you an unction. That ain't just something preacher get. That's an unction. That's for every believer. You're to have it. Number four, we're done. We are to testify as priests of his power and authority. You know, it really doesn't bother me if the Department of Homeland Security considers me a domestic terrorist. I really don't care. I couldn't really give a hoot. Yes. It don't bother me. It don't bother me if people around town think I'm a nut job. I care. I really don't care. I don't care if people listen to me on the radio think I'm a kook. I don't care if people watch this on TV. I don't care. Man, if some of your relatives think I'm a crazy cult leader, I don't care. Amen. I don't care. I don't care, even if some of my family think I'm crazy. I don't care. He knows me. Hey, he made me a king and a priest. It doesn't matter what they think. I'm not here for them. I'm here for him. I'm not here to please them. I'm here to testify of the power and authority of God Almighty. And you know what? He's still powerful. I don't care. I don't care what the world has. He's more powerful. I don't care how much knowledge the world thinks it has. He knows more. Amen. He's more powerful. Listen to me. I want to read this verse of scripture. We're going to think about that, and then we're going to go to the house. No, 1 Peter 2:9. Listen to what it says. But ye, us priests and kings, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. A royal, get that, a royal priesthood. Royal, that means kings. It's right there in the book. We've been reading it over for years and years. It's right there. We are a royal priesthood. He is the King of kings. Who are those kings? That's us. Royal priests. Amen. Priests of the King of kings. An holy nation. You say, well, he's talking about Israel. No, he's not. He set up a peculiar people. What does that mean? I always thought it means weird. Man, peculiar. Something's peculiar. It's odd. A little strange. I mean, the world looks at us, we look peculiar. We look strange. That's okay. God didn't put you here for the world. He put you here for his glory. His glory seems strange. because the world can't receive him. Amen? Well, it looks like foolish. The preaching of the cross is foolishness to them to perish. So they're going to call you weird. It's okay. Shake it off. Quit it bother you. Amen? Let me tell you, when you stand before God someday, you ain't going to care what you thought. So quit waiting now. He called you. You're a chosen generation, royal priesthood, a holy nation, peculiar people, that ye should, listen, that ye should show forth the praises of him. That's what you're here for. That ye show forth the praises of him. Listen, who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Don't miss what I just said. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hey, listen, we're kings. God made us so. We're priests. God made us so. He's called you and equipped you and enabled you and give the power and the access. Amen? He's given you the word. He's given you the document. He's given you the message. He's given you everything that pertains unto life and godliness. He's given you all of it, and you're testify to his power and glory because you're his king. Now, let me ask you, in light of that, does that move you anywhere down in your soul? Oh, you all come fall down before him. Give him glory. Let's stand together. Father in heaven, Father, bless the message now. Bless the invitation, Lord. Bless us, Lord. It's all for you. It's all for you. Father, be the ones that need you now. I pray, Father, for your power and your glory to be exhibited, Lord, in this invitation. Lord, that none be of us, but that it all be of you. Oh, Lord, we need you now. Lord, comfort us, the ones that need comfort and help. Lord, for those to the altar that need to come and pray. Lord, we'll give you the glory, give you the praise for all of it. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Have you failed in your plan of your